everybody, and welcome back to another Ramblecast. You like that different inflection that time? Alex Navarro, Ramblecast.
Ramblecast.
I can't even do it. Ramblecast. Brad.
Ramblecast.
Brad Shoemaker.
Ramblecast.
Okay, ooh. Look, I like that. That's very nice exotic.
Ramblecast.
Wow. Okay, well, now you guys are getting
a German one of these. Get the guttural R in there. Ramblecast.
I can't do it.
Ramblecast.
My French is terrible.
Das und Ramblecasten.
Oh, okay. What?
Alex
is canceled. Brad is canceled. We're all just done. You can't do...
No. You can do European filthy, accents. It's fine.
Filthy accents.
Can't speak German anymore?
Nope. Cannot. Well, you can't do canceled cartoon. Now. You can't do cartoon accents. I guess you can. I don't know. Can you still do cartoon
accents? No, the cartoon German accent is one of the most sacred things that we hold dear in this world, and I will never let go of it.
Which is fair. I feel like, yeah, once we can't just scream out things in cartoon German, what are we even left with?
Yeah, what's left of the world at that point?
Not much.
Watched a delightful YouTube video about that recently. I don't know if we want to get into it or not.
Delightful about screaming German?
Yes, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Hey, look, we're here to ramble.
Yeah, let's ramble. What do you got?
Philly from Germany is a fun channel. I got way into linguistics YouTube for a while in the last few weeks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Philly from Germany is a German lady who now lives in the United States and makes a bunch of videos about the German language, but one of them was literally just, hey, why does everybody think German sounds so angry all the time?
Uh-huh.
I'll give you one guess.
Yeah, there might be a slight cultural thing that happened that made that the default.
That was very much her determination, but it's fun because she also, being from Europe, speaks a lot of other European languages and
right,
like flips it on its head, you know, and starts speaking really angry French and Italian.
Oh, you can get an angry Italian.
And then some very like lovely, fluid, elegant sounding German just as a counterpoint.
So wait, are you basically saying that what I have been exposed to is just multitudes of video game sound bites yelling Schnell at the top of their lungs? Okay. Yep. Okay, you're right. Yeah. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
That's where I learned the name of the uvular R, though. The
gotta build up that phlegm.
No, that part of my mouth doesn't work. I'm from Long Island. It's just the tongue doesn't go back there anymore.
The thing I have always admired about German as a language I will never learn, is the way that they have basically designed it so you can just mash as many syllables together as you can into one word.
Oh, I was just talking to my sister about that, who was a German major and speaks German fluently when I saw her recently. The phenomenon of the German compound noun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Weirdly enough, she busted out like the one that I could think of at the time.
Is it that building that has the big one on it?
No, it's not a huge one. It's I'm going to take a stab at this. Vergangenheitsbewältigung.
Bless you.
Anybody who speaks German will know exactly what kind of history I have been reading about with that.
I assume that means like a deep sense of longing and regret.
No, it's quite specifically the phenomenon of introspection and reckoning that occurred in the 60s.
Okay.
Among the younger generation with the actions of the previous generation about 20 years earlier, let's say.
So let's say the generation after the Germans who fought in World War II, their kids.
Say the children of those Germans.
Yeah. Yes. There was very much a let's sweep all this under the rug and pretend like nothing happened for about 20 years until the people who were not alive for it came along and came of age and then were like, hey, what the fuck?
What are you talking about?
We probably need to not have all these people just serving in the government still and stuff. Anyway.
No. Well, it's okay. The ones that weren't serving in the government, we took as part of our rocketry program. So, you know, at least they weren't there to continue to fuck things
up.
Very talented rocket scientists.
Yeah. Don't ask how they got those talents.
I will not, folks. Happy, speaking of, you know what that made me think of?
Said.
What?
Oppenheimer, which made me think of everything I saw, which is old man absorbs culture through osmosis from like newspaper style. I heard the Golden Globes? Is that what happened recently?
That is the one that happened.
Yeah,
yes.
I heard the emceeing was maybe not so great.
I only know Joe Coy very vaguely as a stand-up comedian. I'm not aware of any of his material. I only caught a few of the jokes as drive-bys on social media, and they were rants. Like,
so
absolutely just like a sucking void where jokes would normally be.
And I'm not here. Okay, look, I'm here to talk about somebody bombing on stage, but I'm not here to revel in it because I bombed on stage too. Like, look.
Oh yeah, we've all done it.
Yeah. So, but I get it, and this isn't some kind of professional courtesy because I'm not on stage with hundreds of thousands of people staring at me. Taylor Swift, who is right over there, by the way, is very pleased with my performance in both Remnant and in Cyberpunk. Who's,
listen, the NFL is doing it. The Golden Globes are doing it. Eventually, Taylor Swift will appear on all media at some point.
My camera just pans over. It's just Taylor Swift. See, that's
and she will be making that face when she's on our stuff, too.
Just sipping. We just beat that boss. Just sipping a beer. So what I got, all I read was, like, I think a New York Times or something write-up of the event and kind of the thing of it. So I'm like five removed from the actual thing.
Oh, no one actually watches it, for God's sakes. I mean, who would?
I don't know. Here's my thing with award shows. I've said it already. There's nothing new here. Like, award shows for me are like, I've never been part of award show culture. I don't watch Oscars, Emmys, Tonys, Golden Globes, even our own in-industry stuff. I enjoy and I support, but like, you know, we just went through the whole Game Awards spiel. We don't need to go through it again.
But let's be real also. The Golden Globes are basically a step above the Kids' Choice Awards.
I really don't know.
I would actually probably rather get a Kids' Choice Award at this point than I would the Golden Globes.
Aren't the Golden Globes usually the ones they use as a predictor for the Oscars? Or
well, they are. They are, but the voting body is totally different, and basically it's the thing they use as the ramp-up to Oscar season, not a thing that actually means that much itself. To give you an example of how much the award means, there is a photo going around the day after of Paul Giamatti, who won a Golden Globe that night, taking his Golden Globe to the In-N-Out Burger not too far from where that theater was, and just sitting it, having it sit on the table next to him as he devoured his In-N-Out Burger.
That's great. That's what I would do. Like, sometimes you just want to go eat.
You just want a thing that will keep the napkins from blowing away, and there it is.
No, you think you're eating at that event? No, you're picking at food, and then you're just going to go eat at
Having more drinks than you're having anything else at that event.
So didn't they just shake up the entire voting board? Wasn't that a thing they just went through and like tried to purge because of all the criticism of the stale old bunch of white guys in a room voting on stuff?
No, that's the Oscar voting body. I don't know if they changed the voting body that much for the Golden Globes, because it's always been the Hollywood Foreign Press, which is that very vague entity that seems like it's probably actually a tax shelter. But they did have a problem, which was namely that I think there was like some internal like racism and sexism stuff going on with that. I don't remember all the ins and outs of what was actually there, but there was a shakeup there. I don't think it changed the voting body that much, but I could be wrong.
I think I saw it referenced in one of my old man articles I was reading about the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
You
don't have to say old man articles. Just by virtue of saying you read articles, you are implying old man.
When the paper came, the thing, though, was like, look, we've done, I would say for me personally, probably my biggest thing are like PAX panels, right? Like, that's probably my biggest, I'm in front of an audience trying to do a bit. And so reading about somebody getting up there and just kind of like bombing.
Die.
Like, you feel it a little bit, right? Like, you can kind of feel when like it's just dead.
I also would not accept this job ever. Under any circumstances.
Yeah, 10 days, it sounds like.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do it. No.
Yeah, what do you think that pays?
Not enough.
$300,000?
$200,000?
Oh, no. $100,000? $20,000? What are we talking?
I bet I've never heard of this guy. I mean, I can't say, maybe I'm just under a rock, but I'm going to say for somebody who is not a household name, I'm going to say mid five figures, maybe?
Mid five figures.
That's my guess.
Okay. So that's like five figures. Not even, you haven't even hit 100 yet. So you're saying like $50,000, maybe?
Yeah. Well, you know, also it's Hollywood, it's all what anybody can get away with.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no fixed rate.
Would your agent pull?
Right. So for somebody, well, it might have been higher because they had to call him in at the last minute. Like maybe they're like, hey, we'll do anything here.
Why was he a last minute pick?
I don't know. He said, like, all I know is he said he had 10 days. That was one of the quotes he had. You're not laughing at these jokes. He said it like during the thing, I think. I only had 10 days to prepare for this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's better than the actively hostile thing that Ricky Gervais was going for a few years there. Like, it's just, nobody who is in that audience wants to hear the excuses for why the jokes are bad.
Uh-huh.
Is that better than just having the jokes be like the most hostile fucking caustic shit imaginable? I don't know. But I don't think that helps.
And then I kind of went through the award stuff, which I don't know. I haven't seen Oppenheimer. I saw Barbie. I made my choice. I put drew my line in the sand.
You went Barbie, not Heimer.
Uh-huh, that's right. And I really enjoyed Barbie. And then not seen Oppenheimer, but I've heard it's very good. So
yeah, I'll watch it at some point. When I decide to start watching new movies again.
Uh-huh.
But that is definitely on my list. It's just like, it's 3 hours, man. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm already sad for hours a day. I don't know if I need to add another three on top of it. You know,
I caught a little bit of it on Twitter.
Of Oppenheimer or the Golden Globes?
For that several days that somebody brought back the Elon Musk takeover era joke of posting entire movies to Twitter again recently.
Oh people still do that semi-regularly.
Oh, does that actually still happen?
It
fell off, but I guess it's mostly just people stop pointing and laughing at it. For people who don't know, after Musk took over, they slashed moderation so badly and content enforcement that people were just straight up uploading entire movies. Oh, first of all, I think for blue checks, they raised the limit of how long a video could be.
Yeah, it's
kind
like
of 10
hours now or something.
No!
So people could just post an entire movie in one tweet, and then so, of course, people immediately started setting about posting commercial films.
Oh, wow.
They would just sit there watchable for days before anybody would ever get around to taking them down, and that happened to Oppenheimer before it came out on video. This had to be off of a screener or something. The full, high-quality film was posted to Twitter before it actually came out for home and just sat there for a while. So I scrubbed through it a little bit.
And then somebody nuked it.
Really treating this film with the solemnity it deserves.
Uh-huh. Just to close the loop real quick, I looked it up. Joe Coy did not replace anybody. Apparently they could not find a host. Like everybody they tried to get turned it down. So it's not like it's not that somebody pulled out, it's that they never had anybody until they finally convinced him to do it.
And let me say again, the Golden Globes standing in terms of a show you would actually want to do or be a part of, I would say has probably never been lower.
Alex, somebody offers you $4.5 million to get on that stage and put together a script. Do you take it?
As long as they don't have any oversight of the script, because the script is just going to be saying, I took $4 or $5 million to stand up here. I don't have anything to say. So, hey, what's going on with you guys? Hey, Taylor, how's it going?
So you would do it?
Yeah.
Okay. Brad, would you do it?
What's the experiment here? You have to do the hosting, right?
You have to do the hosting. No oversight on the script. You get to just go up there, but you're going to get $4.5 million.
Probably, but that's really on the low end of what I would do it for.
Okay. You take the check, it cashes, and then you're on that stage.
The amount of sheer terror involved in doing that, it actually would take something like that to get me to do it.
I think it would be terrifying. I think, Alex, you've got the right idea. You just go up there and be like, you don't know who I am? I would go up there and be like, I don't know who half of you are, honestly.
I just do the fucking Norm Macdonald All the Stars Are Here routine, and I would just start naming people. It's like, All the Stars Are Here, Taylor Swift, Paul Giamatti, All the Stars Are Here. I would just do that for like 10 minutes.
See, I'm sitting here going, is that taxable income, or is this just a magical?
No, it's absolutely tax. You're going to be paying taxes.
Yeah, so getting around that.
That's why I say, like, okay, it would have to be enough for me to never work again, is what I'm trying to say. Like, to subject myself to and the years long recovery, mental health recovery that it would take that kind of global public humiliation. It would need to be enough that I could disappear for the rest of my life, and that's like not quite. I don't know. That's just barely there after taxes and stuff.
I think people would get a kick out of it. Like I think if you did the thing where I just got paid $4.5 million to be up here, I don't care what you think. I think the general public would be like, "What the hell did they do?" Blame you. I think everybody would be like, "Yeah, I would have taken that," and blame Hollywood or the people who put it together.
Yeah,
I think he'd be a hero.
I think that's why the Gervais stuff never really worked, because, like, he was taking the money and then was proceeding to use that as just his avenue to just be a complete dickhead to everyone in that room. I'm not saying no one in that room deserved to have it be like someone to be a dickhead to them, but like as a hosting job, it just feels like there's thumbing your nose at it, and then there is using it as your platform to just be the nastiest motherfucker you can be. And I think that is where it kind of crossed over for me. It was just like, these jokes could theoretically in a bubble feel funny, but he's just being so mean about this incredibly frivolous thing that it feels like it's, I just don't want to be here.
There's a subtle art to the roast, you know?
Yes.
And there's a line where you're toothless and there's a line where you're mean, right? And like,
yeah,
you gotta get between them. I take $4.5 million, and if you're listening, Dan Reichert, I pay Dan $1 million, and I say, Dan, you go up there, you go do it, and I take $3.5 million and go home. And I say,
okay.
Thank
I'm
you,
not
Dan.
Sure that's how that deal would work, but
well,
okay.
I can't subcontract?
No, I don't think so. I think by virtue of hiring you, they kind of expect you up there.
They don't know me. I don't know them. Oh, my weather radio just went off.
Yeah, mine too.
There's the alarm.
Yeah.
We got weather coming in.
We had our first snow here at the new house, and that I definitely was like girding for weather-related problems. Nothing really manifested, thankfully, this time around, but also we didn't get the snow as bad as other places did.
Do you have a shovel?
We have a shovel.
Okay, you're ready.
We had salt. We salted the sidewalks and the driveway.
And the earth.
Yes.
Brad, I had this thought experiment with my wife, and I feel like you'd appreciate this, and let me know what you think. I says to Mabel, don't take offense to this first is the thing I say. But
okay,
do you think there's a world where I could live in a cabin in the woods and just have like services on an internet where I can order stuff, let's say from like food or internet or like Amazon or something, like whatever I need to get stuff to my cabin, but no social media, news, or anything ever filters in? And then one of you guys, part of my family, comes and updates me like once a month on the news of the world. And I just go, huh, okay. And she was like, you know, there are people who live out there without reading the news every single day. And I said, yeah, but like, that's not the world I live in. I kind of am on the internet and I kind of am aware. I'm just very tired. And I think, is there a world where somebody's like, you won't believe what happened out there, that Florida fell off into the ocean.
Why are you Franklin Roosevelt all of a sudden?
I don't know.
And I'm just carrying the box of canned tuna into the cabin and be like, oh, wow, really? Oh, that's a real shame.
So basically on the Caravella Kaczynski scale, you want to lean more toward the Kaczynski, but not all the way.
I'm not violent.
That's what I'm saying, not all the way. A little bit of the isolation and a little bit of the unplugging from society, less the manifesto and bombings.
Yeah, less that. So, like, she was kind of the idea of, like, you would go bananas. Like, you would...
Eventually, yes.
You would not last. And I was like, I could last. I think
this sounds like a Mr. Beast experiment. That's unfortunately what this is coming across as.
I think I could last.
And I think my brain has just been so poisoned by the internet that is now the association I make.
And I could stay inside that circle without moving and make my money. I don't know, Brad. Do you think you could make it?
Maybe. I don't know.
You got
know.
Books. You like? Would you want to not know what's going on outside for a year?
I don't know. Actually, don't. I think that.
Okay.
I would be way too anxious about that.
Not at the rate things move these days.
That's exactly the opposite. I think what my feeling was like. Oh, everything just moves so quickly. I just want somebody to tell me, check in, and then be like, otherwise I'm checking all the time, right? Otherwise I'm like looking to see the updates all the time. If I were forced to be like, well, what else happened? And then be like, okay, I don't know. I'm sure people live their lives like that.
You're leaving your understanding of the current world up to the editorial decision of another person. And that is where I think maybe I have a little bit of trouble.
But aren't we always...
Well, yes, but the thing is we can seek out multiple sources where if you're relying on one person to come by and be like, all right, here's what you need to know, you better hope that person is at least a little plugged in and not just getting all their news from, like, you know, fucking ABC News Nightly or whatever.
It's Mitch from the local store who brings me my kerosene and canned beans. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, you won't believe what happened. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dewey.
I think for me, there's a certain degree of self-preservation involved in knowing what's going on these days. I feel like any day now, there's going to be something I'm really going to need to know about, like right then.
Yeah, you
know
what if I mean? You're in the middle of the woods in your little cabins?
Maybe, I don't know.
Little are we talking?
I don't know.
Okay, it's pretty small. It's pretty small.
Like, we're talking about, like, basically the equivalent of, like, a studio space, right? Like, a small studio.
It's like...
a small cabin. Small
like,
cabin.
What if you're in your cabin for 6 months and you finally decide to head into town and you're all of a sudden, it's like, why are there all these militia checkpoints at every intersection? Uh-huh. What's going on? What happened out here?
No, they're burying me in that cabin. I'm never going back to town. I think really this all stems from like, look, there's a lot of stuff going on. Sometimes you just need a break. And I'm like, I'm a person of extremes. So that break would manifest and that's it. I'm going out into the middle of Pennsylvania and you can find me if you can. Geocache my ass. What?
I already had a title. That's not going in. I'm sorry.
Okay. Fair enough.
Anyway.
Please do not geocache my ass.
Geocache my ass. People geocache anymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm embarrassed to say I never quite understood exactly what the concept of that is.
It's a scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
Like oh, right. Yes. Okay. Yes. I knew that at one time.
Yeah.
There's geo-guessing, which is the other thing, which is like looking at locations on Google Maps and then trying to figure out where they are. But the geocaching thing is like finding the hidden caches in various places around the world.
I live this life where I believe I'm at my soul in my core a hermit, and my wife says you're so full of shit. Like you are somebody who
there's a little bit of a self-styled hermit thing going on where it's like I think you admire the tenets of hermitdom, but I don't think you being a person born in the fires of modern American society could actually stand it.
I think I could do it. And she's always like you can't. You're always like you're basically talking and moving around all the time and have to share everything with everyone. And I'm like, no, I do that because it's, you know, you don't understand. That's from the opposite. I'm compensating for my hermitage. Like I need to be doing it. I really want to just be in a tiny room by myself always forever playing a Game Boy Advance. That's it.
Well, you've already fucked up because you're married and have kids.
Yeah.
So like you already kind of broke your vows on that one, man. They're not going to let you back into the church after that.
There's a super corny magnet we have on the fridge that we got from somebody. I think it was my mother-in-law or something that I find very funny, but it's always very corny. That says the wife and I have decided not to have kids. The kids are taking it pretty hard. Brad got a little smile. It's kind of funny, right?
That feels like a joke your son would tell.
Yeah, yeah.
Some real Rodney Dangerfield shit.
Yeah, but we keep it on the fridge because I always look at it. I'm like, that's pretty funny. Anyway, yes, you're right, Alex. But I'm hoping the kids will bring me my canned beans they know the location, that's it.
They're going to be too busy fighting in the water wars. They're not going to have time to check in on Bean Dad.
How go with the water wars? Good. I'm a lieutenant with Pepsi now, PepsiCo. Great. Yeah, I had to fight my sister. She signed up with the RC Cola faction, but we are the Cola Wars also, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, the precursors to the Water Wars.
Look, man, RC is getting folded into one of the major empires pretty fucking fast, man. I'm sorry.
You're saying
that's like Rhode Island trying to fight a civil war by itself.
RC is the secret police of the Yum Brands empire.
They're just a special unit. No, that's like Barks. Barks. Barks is it? Nobody wants the
it has
Barks.
Bite.
Yeah, nobody wants the Barks people knocking on your door. Then you're in real trouble. Okay, nobody. Yeah. You can't negotiate with the Barks people. You guys like root beer?
That's
segue
fine.
From
yeah,
a weird.
It's one of my favorites, actually.
Yeah.
Of okay. Sodas.
Yeah. Would you?
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
You'd pick a root beer by choice.
I would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Brad, you drink one if it were served to you.
Depends
yeah,
on the meal,
definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Trying to think. Hierarchy of colas. Is that even a cola?
Oh yeah,
it's a soda. It is a carbonated beverage.
You got your brown sodas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well,
you got your Coke
Fanta's
and Pepsi
a soda. Those like orange sodas.
Kinda.
I don't like.
Started to say something about Fanta, but I really need to not just talk about that period of history this entire episode.
Do you like the 60s? Tell me about.
Go look up where Fanta came from sometime.
Tell me about post-Nazi Fanta regret and depression.
It's quite literally because Coca-Cola stopped selling their product in that,
Germany,
in that country, yes, at that time.
Oh, wait, is it German or is it? Is it like?
I believe that's the case.
Okay, well,
anyway, sorry.
My wife really likes Fanta. I'm not a fan of Fanta. I don't like orange sodas.
It's all orange. It is all orange, right?
They probably have like a lemon
fruit
Fanta.
Flavors, base, maybe, but
base Fanta is orange, correct?
I believe so.
Base.
I do like orange soda.
What is it? There's all right. It's like Coke and Pepsi. There's like Dr. Pepper is its own thing.
Yeah. That's like a root beer adjacent, but yeah.
Root beer.
Spicier,
ginger,
but yeah.
Ginger ale? Fig, not
yeah.
really.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a carbonated beverage.
Yep. I would often take a ginger ale over a root beer, I think.
I like ginger beer recently. That's a thing I've kind of gotten into.
Yeah, but that's different. That's
yeah. It's not alcoholic, but it is slightly different than a ginger ale.
Is a 7-Up a ginger ale?
No, that's more of a citrus soda, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a lemon lime.
A lemon lime? Okay.
That's a Sprite like.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, when you say it like that, yes. Okay, so ginger ale.
Yeah.
It's just one of the clear sodas.
If you need to, yes.
No, I'm not a squirt. I will not. Thank you.
Squirt?
Squirt.
Yeah.
Squirt's weird.
That's another citrus one. That's more grapefruit, right?
I guess maybe you're right.
Yeah.
Maybe. I was going to say. It's kind of like they carbonated the little like bottle of lemon juice you buy for cooking, sort of.
I mean, it's different in the way cream soda is different from root beer. You know,
ooh,
like they are in the same family line, but they are slightly different.
I haven't thought about cream soda in like 30 years. Holy crap. I probably have
not had a cream soda since my grandparents died, but that's the thing is that like they kept cases of that shit in the house.
Cream soda, definitely the Werther's originals of soda.
That's how I got into root beer, is that they always had A&W root beer and A&W cream soda. That was exclusively the drinks they had available at their house.
How are we feeling about a cheer wine?
What's a cheer wine again?
It's like, I couldn't have told you this until I just looked it up. I guess it's like cherry. I've had cheer wine.
But it's not cherry soda.
No, it is. It is.
Oh, really? Okay.
I've had cheer wine countless times in my life, and I never would have like consciously registered that it was cherry flavored, but I guess it is.
Oh, I thought cheer wine was like, I thought it was like that thing Danny O'Dwyer brings from like Ireland.
Cheer wine is very Southern. In fact, it's from North Carolina. It's very big regionally, let's say.
Would a cherry Coke be like a cheer wine?
No. Okay. Cheer wine is straight
different.
Red. It is
dead?
Literally, red. It's
oh,
a red,
red
soda.
Red.
Like it's just a
red, red pop.
It's a very red soda.
Huh. I've never had it. I've had a root beer, I've had a cream soda, I've had a Fanta, I've had a Sprite, I've never had a squirt, I don't think. I refuse to put that in my mouth.
Why?
Well, I don't know.
It's a bad name, but it's actually pretty good.
I don't
know.
Squirt's pretty good.
I don't remember seeing squirt maybe in like New York or something. I it was like 7-Up and Pep. I remember
seeing it a lot more on the West Coast,
okay,
but I do feel like I've seen it in other parts of the country too. I mean, it's not like Faygo. It's not like a strictly regional beverage.
It was squirt was definitely like a latecomer. This says it started in 1938, but I remember it being like a late 90s thing is when it started really getting big and marketed and stuff, I feel like.
Squirt feels like one of those like things you see in the 2-liter of squirt in the bodega that has a bunch of dust on it that's never been touched ever before.
Here we go. Fresca.
Sure.
I've had a Fresca.
Yeah.
I'll drink a Fresca. I ain't too good for it.
I don't seek it out,
but whatever.
There are different flavors of Fresca, right?
Let me see. Yeah, there are here. It looks like the default one is grapefruit.
Okay. Yeah. Like, I'm not a big carbonated beverage person anymore, but like,
I just drink seltzer.
I'm a Coke person. I think growing up, I was probably more of a Pepsi person, but I think I've moved over to a Coke, and that's probably my default carbonated soda. It's actually ginger ale in the office was ginger ale.
Yeah, ginger ale's. Ginger ale is my airplane drink.
Sure, mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they come around for beverage service, it's like 90% of the time it's ginger ale. Otherwise, maybe tomato juice.
Yeah, I also sometimes will get tomato juice on a plane. I don't know why, because that's the only place I ever order it.
Same for both of those, pretty much.
I feel like I shouldn't feel bad about this, but I feel like it takes some kind of moxie, which maybe I don't always have, to order a coffee and a carbonated beverage on a plane. Like when they're coming around with the drinks and they're like, do you like some drinks?
I've done it.
Yeah, I've done it before too, but I always feel a little bad doing it.
Oh.
How awake do I need to be when I get off the plane? That is always my question. Is double fisting different caffeinated drinks the right move? And like if I have to drive somewhere or do something after I get off a plane, I will almost always say yes, that is the right move.
Mm. I got two last night. I don't think I've ever done it before. But it just popped out of my mouth because I was very thirsty. The other one was just a water, to be fair.
Okay.
But I was just like, I'll take a ginger ale and a water, please.
They give you the little bottle of water?
No, just a little cup
nice.
Full.
Good but, for them.
American's been on the full, here's an entire can of the thing you asked for the last couple of years that I've been flying them, which is pretty great.
Not the, like, hat pour the can into the cup?
Right, not the tiny little 3 ounces, well, more than 3 ounces, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
But the other full on. Here's a cup of ice and a whole can of a thing.
When you're receiving, if you're on the window seat, when you're receiving, do you do a two-handed reach through the person, like support the bottom of the cup
yes.
and the cup? Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't, and I get a little nervous, but I am always like, the worst thing in the world that can happen right now in my life, probably in all of humanity right now, is if this drink spilled on the person in the middle, and I will not be party to that.
That exact situation, the person on the window got orange juice last night, and it passed directly over my iPad and my Kindle
uh-huh.
in a way that just stopped my heart for a second.
Was it a single hand grab?
It was okay. It was also very full orange juice.
I take it, because usually the person who is doling it out will hand it over, like full on, hand it over, and I will go bottom of the cup, top of the cup, like around their hand, and secure that like a nuclear football until that is back on my station. And then I will try not to hit the thing with my knees to spill it all over the place if I can avoid it. But yeah, asking for two drinks always felt like kind of baller, but a little, I don't
hey.
Know.
Hey, know your worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm worth a coffee and a 3 ounces of soda. Have you ever asked for seconds?
No.
Okay.
No. When I flew up to D.C., though, this was the real test of how bold am I on an airplane. When I flew up to D.C., it was long enough for beverage service, but not long enough for them to do it.
Mm.
It was like, because I also fly regional. I have to connect to where my parents live on like a 20 to 30 minute flight.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah.
And that one is full on. You're not getting a drink.
Right. You're barely sitting down.
But this was like an hour and change, like an hour 10 or something. Mm. So they were like, we're not going to come through with beverage service, but you can ring us if you want something.
Did you ring them?
And at some point I was so thirsty. I was like, am I going to do it? Because like nobody's getting beverages, you know?
Yeah.
Am I going to put myself out there enough to press this call light?
Did you do it?
And I did it.
Good for you.
And they very cheerfully got me a ginger ale.
Aw.
And it was awesome.
This is the thing I've always appreciated about the JetBlue experience, which is that they have the little mini fridge about halfway into the plane that you can just kind of walk up to and be like,
what?
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 Yeah, they have a little snack thing.
What?
And also
what?
Like a little mini fridge that Man. You can just grab like some of the sodas and some of the snacks.
Stop it.
I have not flown JetBlue in a very long time.
Same here. I used to fly JetBlue a lot. And I
Yeah.
Okay. Man, I didn't know this.
I don't know if every plane has it, but definitely like the cross-country flights I've been on, I've gone up there and it's just like...
Self-serve?
They do the regular service, but
yeah.
then if it's in the middle of the flight and the seatbelt light is off, you can walk up there and just grab like a bag of chips from that
wow.
thing.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's not in... It's like in the middle of the plane?
Yeah, it's just like in the sort of area where like the middle bathrooms are and stuff, like, you know, kind of where like the... It's not like it's like the back where they have like the
oh,
kitchen.
Oh, sure.
And stuff
yeah, yeah,
like
yeah,
they,
yeah.
But there's that little middle section where it's like, hey, here's where the, the attendants.
I think I just never thought you're supposed to take stuff from there. I think I know what you're talking about. I've seen it, like basket of stuff.
I don't know that they actively encourage it, but I've done it and they never have said a word. Like, I've done it yeah. in front of flight attendants and they've never said a word.
Okay.
So wow. I don't think they care.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture here on. I think it's like
you're not grabbing an armful of the shit. I don't care.
It straight up just says JetBlue Pantry at the top, and it's just
okay.
like a whole
yeah.
little self-service thing on this Airbus 321. Also, I think I'm only going to fly airlines that fly Airbuses from now on.
No, you think you're done? You don't want you don't want a convertible?
I think I'm done with Boeing anything ever.
I think Boeing might be done with some Boeing stuff for a little bit here.
Dude, what a fucking crazy thing. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's
it's almost like relaxing safety standards to an alarming degree is not the best decision.
It's an amazing thing to happen 2 days before a cross-country flight, although, again,
yeah.
I was on an Airbus, thank God. But
for those who don't know, we're talking about that piece of the fuselage that kind of, let's say, explosively decompressed off the plane. Was it the actual door?
No, I don't believe so. I believe it was some kind of side panel. There were some kind of like
yeah.
retaining bolts that were loose.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then,
it was not an emergency door.
And then so did the FAA ground every plane of that type nationally
yes.
or just for Alaska?
I don't know if Boeing or Alaska
right,
volunteered to do it too.
Because I think I saw United also. It's the 737 MAX is the one we're talking about.
Yeah.
United had found like five of theirs with the same
loose
bolt
bolts.
Problem.
Yeah. Thankfully, nobody sounds like nobody got hurt or seriously injured.
No, some people lost some cell phones, but it sounds like that was it.
I mean, there are so many angles on this that are bizarre. Like, they found at least two intact iPhones that fell from 16,000 feet.
Yeah.
Like, somebody found one on the side of the road still in airplane mode and, like, not broken or anything.
That's weird.
Which they had to turn over to the NTSB.
Oh, really?
Titanium, baby.
Yes. I bet. Well, I don't know. I'm sure there's all kinds of data they want to collect from something like that, but I bet that like dropping experiment is also valuable to somebody.
To see
that it survived.
I did see somebody found some fuselage in like their backyard, which is terrifying. Cool. That's like cool. Just reminds me of like Donnie Darko style, like engine crashing through the house.
Very normal thing to happen in a functioning country.
World.
Look, we should never have taken to the skies. That's
Oh no, we don't belong there. No. I mean, I've said that as much. We had that existential moment when we were doing the Project Beast stuff and saying we were never meant to leave this earth. It's a prison. that the sky is also not our domain.
Yeah.
Doesn't belong to us.
Was it like 16,000? What altitude were that?
They were
not that high because I think they were a shorter flight. It was a Pacific Northwest flight, and I think it was going from like I want to say maybe Seattle to Portland or something like that, but they were definitely not at like 30,000 feet.
Okay, so I guess it was not high enough for the atmospheric density to be a problem because like I saw the cell phone videos, like nobody had their oxygen mask on.
I saw that too, yeah.
The mask did fall down, but I don't think I think maybe at some point when they got into lower altitude, they did not have to wear them.
I only saw stills, but I didn't remember seeing the bags down.
I saw a few, at least in that row, the bags were definitely down.
They absolutely were down, but I didn't see anybody wearing them.
Well, that could just be a people problem.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a certain point where obviously you can't, like there's just
nothing to breathe.
Yes.
The vacuum has sucked everything out.
Yeah, exactly. Like the air literally leaves your lungs instantly due to the pressure differential, and then you pass out. That's why they say put on your mask first before you help somebody else, because you have about 4 seconds of consciousness or something.
I have seen both that part of Fight Club and the original Final Destination. Let me tell you right now, there is no greater fear I have when it comes to air travel than the exact thing that those people went through.
I think, okay, look, some of this is hearsay. Again, I read it in the paper. I think a kid lost his shirt.
It got ripped off.
The shirt got ripped off, which is like, there are forces out there that we don't understand. Is it Max the one that also had the nose up problems?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
If it's the same problem I'm thinking about, it was a few years ago.
The autopilot stuff where it kept pushing the nose.
Yes. I believe it is the same one.
Hot damn.
And then, you know, you can find no shortage of people talking about, like, Boeing. Well, the gist is, you know, it's just shareholder dividends overall at this point, you know.
That's what it always comes back to.
But a bunch of examples of them cutting corners on safety testing and quality assurance and, like, moving manufacturing to states with weaker union protections and just X, Y, and Z reasons that their quality has taken such a nosedive.
Yeah, well, look, people don't want to be sucked out of planes, so hopefully...
No!
Hopefully... I would
actively like them to work to prevent that, if at all possible.
Unless you're D.B. Cooper.
I think it's unfortunate that it takes events like this to get people to be like, what the hell is going on? Why are the planes falling apart? But hopefully something happens where they're like, we shouldn't have this anymore. Well, I'm glad you landed safely, Brad. I'm glad you didn't have to worry about your part of the plane flying off, I guess.
You know, it's a nice to have if you're going to fly on a plane. It's nice for the airplane to not disintegrate.
For how much money those tickets cost and how little space you get on them, man.
For how much money I spend on those tickets, I should be able to get every regional soda in the world on that airplane. I should be able to get fucking Kickapoo Joy Juice served to me on a cross-country flight, goddammit.
Is that a real soda?
Yes, it is.
Where is that from?
South, primarily.
Okay. Kickapoo?
Kickapoo Joy Juice. It was a concept that was invented in Lil Abner comic strip like back in the 30s. Then they turned into a real soda. I've only had it like once or twice. It's a little like Mountain Dew.
Oh, Mountain Dew. That's not even one. That's a citrus soda, right?
Yeah. What? I don't even know.
It's almost more energy drink than soda, but yeah. I mean, it like Kickapoo Joy Juice is like a little more citrusy, if I remember correctly.
I think the flavor of Mountain Dew can best be described as green.
or yellow.
Spartan. It is.
Tastes like the thing you get with Taco Bell.
Tastes like Halo.
How about mellow yellow? Anybody?
Sure. Yeah.
It was all right.
I don't think I've had it. I think mellow yellow, like as a thing, is more a punchline than an actual drink to me. So yeah, I guess is that still a thing you can get?
I think if you've had mellow yellow like past 1998, I would love to know where you're finding it because I have not seen it anywhere in forever.
Is Jolt still a cola?
Yeah,
I think so.
Did it come back or did it like go away?
I don't know if it ever left, but it definitely doesn't have the same cultural cachet it once did.
No, not
not since Red Bull.
Not since the killer lemonade was introduced.
No. Oh. Oh God, I cannot tell you how tempted I have been to go and try the killer lemonade.
What's the killer like? This is different than a hard lemonade.
It's the lemonade that kills you.
It's the have you not heard about this? It's the Panera. Is that Panera bread? It's the Panera charged lemonade.
And it
is what
kill
it is
you?
Called yuzu something charged lemonade.
Yeah.
Okay. The caffeine is like, I don't know how they're getting away with this. The caffeine is like illegal levels of, it's insane. It is insane.
Wait. It has in fact killed two people.
What?
Two people died.
It was people that had like underlying health problems, but yes.
Oh my gosh. Are they are they putting warnings on it? Like where you?
I believe there is a warning, but it's not that big, but it is. And so the other thing is it's self-serve all you can drink. So you people.
What? Like you're getting like filling up your glass with this caffeine level?
There is an amazing, like, I think some of this kind of started with this TikTok that was going around.
That's how it always starts.
Of this middle-aged woman who, like, works for herself or from home, and so she works out of a Panera Bread every day because she just wants to be where people are.
Okay.
And she's clearly in her car recording this, having just come from Panera. In fact, she still has the half-full cup. Like, I've never seen anybody so legitimately amped up in my life that is not on literal speed or something.
My God. Yeah.
It does not seem like a put-on. Like, it seems like she literally is, her eyeballs are about to jitter out of her head because she...
Like, some straight-up, I need to get this fucking grout clean scrubbing with a toothbrush type shit.
It's full-on gritting her teeth and shouting.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't drink caffeine. I had no idea this was caffeinated. She's, it's very funny, but also, man, that
seemed became
dangerous.
Less funny after that.
Like, holy... I guess I have a lot of questions, but like, if it's a known thing, are they still serving it?
Yes.
As far as I know.
Man.
In fact, didn't the CEO, like the head of Panera, like just basically just said like, hey, drink at your own risk or something?
Drink it at your own risk. I would think that would be a thing that they would stop. You know, if there have been people who are like fatalities from your drink, you know?
Yeah. If anything, I think it's just maybe getting more weird, fucked up people curious about it and possibly buying it that they wouldn't have otherwise.
I think that lady said that the big like self-filled drink cup she had was equal to like 5 espressos or something for like one cup of it.
I can't do one espresso.
And she was saying she would sit there and just kind of drink it all day.
I'm trying to look up killer lemonade here, but I think I'm just going to stop.
Yeah.
Looking up killer lemonade. Yeah. No, there it
yeah,
is.
I mean, look, the part where it killed people is not funny at all, but also it is nothing is more emblematic of where everything is at right now than a fucking, dude. You know, a quick service food chain serving a lemonade that has killed people and just putting up a sign says drink at your own risk.
You're right. Yes. That is a very good point.
I mean, nothing in corporate America has better emulated America's COVID policy than this.
Look, 21st century decline of empire stuff. Airplanes falling apart. And lemonade that kills you.
We don't need to live in a nanny state where I can't drink enough caffeine at a Panera to overdose on caffeine. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
For the love of God, do not drink it if you have heart problems. Please, God.
I think the part where, like, you're calling it a lemonade, though, it's just a caffeinated lemonade. Do they call it, like, a caffeine bomb?
I mean, lemonade is just sugar lemon water.
It's something-something charged lemonade.
Charged lemonade, that's the thing that came up. All right, well, look.
I mean, look, lemonade is already sugary and, you know, fucking a little bit ampy as it is. It's just that they've now taken it to the logical extreme. It's not that they couldn't do it. It's that they shouldn't have done it.
That's the American story.
Yeah.
they shouldn't have done it. Goddamn fools. Yes. That is
can't or won't.
Nobody should die from drinking anything at a Panera is, I guess, my stance. Basically.
No one should die at a Panera, period. Nothing at Panera should kill you. That's my bold fucking statement.
Have you seen their grilled cheese? There's a lot of butter on that thing.
That's why I don't order the grilled cheese.
Okay. It's a pretty thick grilled cheese. I don't think I've been to Panera. Panera is an airport food for me. Like Panera, Panera is one of those things that's like, I'm trapped in a food court.
This is the least greasy option in front of me.
I could, I'm not a big Panera fan. I don't really.
It's
even
fine.
Know what
it's whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's just, it's okay sandwiches that don't taste like complete garbage. Like that's my recommendation for Panera. Do you want to eat a sandwich that will not make you physically ill? Here you go.
I'm much more a burger person at the airport, and where the Paneras are, I'm probably going to the burger, which will kill me, by the way.
Yeah.
I just, you know.
Out there, where the Paneras are.
Don't drink the lemonade.
That's a sad story.
It's a lot of information.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to dump that on you, that there's a lemonade out there menacing people with death.
The airlines, fucking Panera. Who else is out there? What else is going on? Like, do I have to worry about at least, you know, it's not accidental, I guess, is the problem with the Panera. Somebody had to sit there and be like, I think this is a fine level of caffeine.
No, these places have food labs. There are literal fucking food scientists that sit there and just determine caffeine levels and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Brad, are you still doing cold brew?
Yeah, except when I've been out of town recently. But yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Did you wind up figuring out your caffeine level of like concentration?
I'm doing about 75% decaf right now.
Okay.
Like I'm cutting it with like a quarter caffeinated regular beans.
Do you feel like you've your body has adjusted?
Yes. Okay. Sure. Because I got home super late from the airport last night and obviously don't have any of that around. So I just made half a pot of coffee this morning. Huge mistake. I got through about a cup and not even a cup and a half. And I was like, I need to stop drinking this now.
You could feel it.
Or I'm going to have a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Alex,
absolutely can feel it.
Are you a coffee drinker? Like a day?
I'm a one cup of coffee a day person. That
like
is
morning
it.
Coffee.
Morning coffee. That is it.
And if
that
you,
is these days, that is just about the only caffeine I'm drinking.
And if you skip a cup, do you get like a headache or anything? Can you feel it?
I definitely notice it, but like I also take ADHD meds, which you know, if you're taking those and you don't drink the coffee, like at least some of the alertness is still there.
Hmm.
I have heard sometimes that coffee can actually interfere with certain ADHD meds. I don't think mine is one of them, but as far as I know, on the days when I just drink a cup of coffee and take my meds, I'm pretty alert and pretty normal.
I've definitely at the point on a weekend or something, like I have a pretty good routine in the morning during the week, but on the weekend, if I haven't made a cup of coffee, I start getting that headache, caffeine headache, you mm-hmm. know? I'm like, oh, right. I didn't drink a cup of coffee this morning, and then my body's complaining to me. I don't necessarily feel fuzzy or like I need to wake up. It's just like literally like a migraine.
It was like a strong pressure, sinus pressure, kind of like just feels like your head is in a vice kind of thing for like 3 days back in August. And then after that was over, I was like, not doing that again.
So it was just three days?
I think it was about three days before I started feeling normal again.
Is that not enough?
That's low to me. That's like, you know.
Yeah, it was not. And it got better. You know, it was the worst the first day when I had none.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
After like 3 days, it was just gone. And then I was like, I'm not okay. I'm going to just not drink caffeine anymore, really, except in very small quantities.
I just maybe it's the chemical saying I enjoy it. I just enjoy the process, you know. It's one of the, like, I've got a bad personality of addiction, like I have to be careful. Smoking, caffeine, like I like routine and habit and stuff like that. So I have to be extremely careful in like what I roll myself into in a routine to separate from it, because I get like I get used to the habit, right? Like the habit forming. Again, there's the chemical part of it too, but like I enjoy the process of the coffee, you know, like that whole thing.
That's a routine, you know.
Yeah,
and I think that as much as I'm totally in favor of people saying they want to cut caffeine or cut coffee out of their life, like I totally get it. Just for my part, like the nice little routine of, you know, hot or cold beverage, depending on the time of year in the morning to kind of wake myself up a little bit, is just the thing I enjoy. If I was starting to feel like I needed more and more of it to get anything out of it, I would probably just stop.
Yeah. Like Brad, do you find the cold brew does it for you, or the decaf does it for you in terms of like filling the routine?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think it tastes better also.
Ooh.
And You drink less of it because it's so much work to make that you don't want to like burn through it any faster than you have to.
I also am a tea drinker, so I have my decaf tea that I drink. But it's I don't know. Don't give me the same kind of thrill. It's just not the same.
Yeah, I get
like
you.
I like walking to the Dunkin' Donuts in the morning after I drop the kids off from school and just sipping that coffee on the way back. I should probably start. I would like to do an experiment where I kick it for try to take off for a week. Hearing 3 days of migraine actually doesn't sound as bad as I thought it was going to be. I was thinking more like a month.
And the drop off was rapid. Also, like the second day was like way way less bad than the first.
Mm. Yeah,
it's really just at least for me it was really just that first day that was like I was like yeah. This is awful. I don't want to do this again. But after
you gotta kind of build in a day for it.
It's really not that bad after that.
I'll think about it. There was a thing on the radio recently too. It was an NPR has those TED Talks sometimes, and sometimes they're infuriating and they're tough to listen to, and sometimes they're fine. Those like TED Radio Hour things on NPR. Mm-hmm. And one was like the benefits of exercise on the brain that made me feel so like, God damn it, I just gotta get a better routine for exercise. Like there was sometimes those TED Radio Hour things sound like an article you read in Popular Mechanics about flying cars. And sometimes they sound good, but yeah. Sorry, I was talking about exercise in the brain. I just realized on my recording, I think it was looping over itself in the recording. So I was watching the levels go up, the meters bounce, but it was actually not recording. It was just recording over the same part of the thing.
Shouldn't do that.
Over and over again. Yeah, shouldn't do that. Shouldn't do that. So apologies there if something weird happens in the recording or the video here. But we're probably ready to wrap this one up anyway. Yeah. Thank you very much, Alex Navarro.
Thank you.
Take care of your brain.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah. Brad Shoemaker.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes. Everybody out there, I know over here on the East Coast, we're about to get some weather, so mm-hmm. I need to go get a bunch of stuff off the garage or the basement floor here for the water coming in.
My parents just texted me it's like flooding everywhere where they are.
Oh, boy.
Like, I may not have even been able to make it to the airport if I had waited one extra day. Also, the Charlotte airport that I flew through, like, there's like six-figure numbers of people out of power already.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if that storm is moving up to where y'all are, but it sounds pretty severe.
We're supposed to get a lot of wind and rain later on, I think, this evening, too. So, yeah. All right. So everybody Godspeed. Be safe out there.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Don't forget, if you're watching Ramblecast, we got more episodes of Twin Peaks Season 2. What the hell's going on?
It's a valid question.
What do we do now?
I know what's going on. It's this.
It's stretching, uh-huh. Yes. Find out all the new plot points as we dive into them in Twin Peaks Season 2. Check it out over on the Watchcast over at patreon.com/nextgen. Thanks, everybody, and we'll be back next week.